Scorpions Avenue.
Yeah, I mean, people say that we didn't have episodes, but I don't know what they're talking about. They were uploaded, so you guys should check where you get your podcast, because they were there.
You lying bitch. We didn't record one. How are they going to download it?
I mean, not with you, but I recorded with someone else.
Oh, me and, God, me and Jack. So that's why we didn't have a... You were sneaking off with that Barb.
Jackie Beat. It was Jackie
Barb,
Beat and
the
Monet
Dog King. Barb the
no,
Dog King?
Jackie Beat and Monet Exchange. Barf. We did 2 episodes of Ebony and and no one can find them. So if you want them, send me a DM on Instagram and I'll send you the special episodes of Ebony and Irony we did in Bunny's
Ass. Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, wow. I mean, you're not very busy now that you lost to All Stars. Again.
No. I didn't lose All Stars. I won the first time, bitch.
Yeah, it was a tie. I mean, listen, are you...
You gotta make everything about food. Everything's about food. It's about some tie. Calm down.
Shut up.
I know you're hungry.
That's what I did have for lunch, but honey, it's my birthday week, and it's going to be the big 6-0.
Are you going to do anything fun to commemorate your birthday this year?
Yes, I'm going to get monkeypox.
Where?
Yes.
Where's your place of choice for the monkey?
Well, she was scratching and bleeding. She got the pox. Now, sissy that pox.
Oh, do you have a monkeypox party working already?
I got my new mix coming up.
Huh? Work. Do you have a monkeypox parody that you've been working on?
Of course.
Do you want to give us a little snippet?
That was it. Now, sissy that pox. Arms are scratching, fever burning my head.
Now, what if RuPaul was there? RuPaul, you know, middle of this song, RuPaul stands up and he's like, Lady Bunny, enough. Do not use my song to make fun or to make levity of a very, very serious situation. I've had enough. Imagine.
Well, he might, I don't know. Drew himself wouldn't care. But if it were a business thing, then he would have no choice. Honey, Rue does have a twisted sense of humor. It's just that's not what people buy him as. And we actually had a nice long chat. He called me to talk to me about some royalty check from one of those duets I did with him. And I guess they just performed one on
Dragons. Wait, Rue called you?
Canada. Yeah, and like I told you, I saw him a month before. So, girl, we had a nice long chat.
Uh-huh.
It's very sweet of him to call, because he sent me some checks, and I'm too dumb to deposit them in a timely fashion and always out of town. So he was wondering what was up, so he got my transfer
is this bitch
information.
Dead?
he knows I'm not dead, but he's doing well. He said he's busy working. We talked about everything being a mess in the world. He said, "That's my solution is just keep busy." And I don't go for all RuPaul's, I'm a guru, I'm going to tell you all how to live your life, but that sounded pretty damn smart right now.
Mm-hmm.
To just work your ass off while everybody else figures stuff out.
Did you ask him about All Stars? And how dare he not crown me?
Well, that was before the crowning.
Oh, okay. Well,
yes.
There's that.
but, no, so what I want to ask you is, so Now, are you in a heightened period of social media for the entire run of the show? How many weeks was All-Stars 7?
All-Stars 7 was 7 weeks. And I want to say I was in like a more heightened state than I normally am. I'm pretty...
But aren't you like checking after each week's airs to like see what the fans are saying and, you know, no. throw back a little response and whatnot?
No, I'm not one of those girls. Like, I mean, since season 10, I have steadily been on social media sometimes. If I'm like promoting like a new song or a new video, a new project or a tour that I'm really excited about, like I'm on it a bit more than normal. So I guess I was on a bit more than normal during All Star 7, but I post since season 10, I post pretty regularly. If not one post a week, at least two. And that hasn't changed, especially when like the episode airs and you put out your outfit and there's like a fun scene or a fun picture that you want to post about the episode, then you do that. But I haven't been any more or less than
so
usual.
So you're posting those fun video stories on your private Instagram? Because I've never seen one on the Monet Exchange account.
Oh, no. It's the account that you're not blocked on. Okay. Yeah. I blocked on all my socials. I just thought maybe you would be...
So after doing so many different seasons of Drag Race, is it like... What I guess I'm trying to say is that during the show, do you find yourself like... And even though you taped it a year ago, everyone else is experiencing it now. And I guess you haven't seen all the edits until it airs. You know, so are you... I maybe not heightened on social media, but are you like alert and alive? I mean, are you or are you just like, you know, on to the next thing?
Yeah, at this point, I'm just on to the next thing. Like, you know, I think that at this point, especially there are so many seasons of Drag Race, so many seasons of All Stars versus the world, and kind of stuff. So people are, I find, people have not realized. Not fully, but a lot of people have realized that it is just a TV show. It is a TV show that is edited in a certain way to have a certain, you know, to tell a certain story. And I think that the more and more Drag Race that we all consume, the more and more we see that more. And the more that we understand that as fans of the show, and people take it at that. So I feel like before, I would say between like seasons 6, and 10 or 11, people took Drag Race as the Bible. Like, what you did well on the show, that's the only thing that you can do well in real life. What you do horrible and at the show, you cannot do that in real life. And I think before season 6 and after season 11, people have realized, it's TV. They're making a show. Like, someone has to lose, someone has to win. You know what I mean? So I think that is what people understand more. So it's Drag Race is no longer this curse that if you are not funny, then people do not think you're not funny in real life, or you can't be funny, or you can't do comedy. You can't like that's just not a thing anymore. People know it's a TV show.
You can be not funny on the show and not funny in real life.
Yeah, and you can be a loser.
It's like non-binary. That's what somebody told me that went to your comedy show. You're going on a big tour right soon with Bob, right?
Yeah, Bob and I, we have a sibling rivalry tour launching September 14th all the way through October 6th. And we're doing our East Coast cities on that leg of the tour. And it's really fun. Do you watch Legendary, Bunny? Or do you watch the show Legendary on HBO
Naomi. Naomi. I've shot some video of her, and I just think she's wonderful. She's amazing. Terrific.
This most recent season 3, the House of Juicy Couture was the house that won, and they were, you should take some time and watch it, Lip Bunny. It's such a good show. It's ballroom, and these kids in these houses, they come together as families and they perform and do these stellar, award-winning, in my opinion, voguing battles. And the house that won last season, the House of Juicy Couture, Bob and I announced that they're going to be our dancers on our tour. So it's going to be a whole bunch of faggoty shit and voguing and cunt and pussy and cunt. And it's going to be great. We're so excited to take them on the tour.
I thought you'd put on the new Beyonce album.
Ooh, the new Beyonce. Now, first of all, let me tell you this. I don't care who you, Beyonce and this motherfucking tour. I mean, Beyonce's motherfucking album is everything. I'm obsessed. It is such a great fucking album. And Beyonce just really be doing that, man. You know, people are speculating that she's towards the end of her career. These next three albums, this one, Renaissance, Part 1, Part 2, and Part 3, that these are her final three albums. And she's going to go on a big tour after this, unless she's done doing the music thing. Or maybe not. Maybe she might be on some Cher shit where she'll farewell 18 times before it's the end. But this first part of this trilogy of albums is so dope. And I am so happy to be alive at a time where I can appreciate it in real time. It's great. How do you feel about it?
I have not listened to all of it. My favorite song is Cuff It, because
so good. You know, it's very Lady Bunny. It's very disco.
Yeah, well, that's because Nile Rodgers, who was the producer of I'm Coming Out, Good Times, that was the sample used on Hotel, Motel, Holiday Inn, whatever that old rap song is. I mean, he's the maestro. He's produced
everyone from David Bowie
to Chic. Oh yeah, he's the master. Get Lucky with Daft Punk. He put the funk on that.
Tonight we're done again.
Kill the Lights. Kill the Lights with Alex Newell. That's him and DJ Cassidy. Oh, I love that. That's the only one by her that I play. It's got like a Malay mix. M-A-L-A-Y.
Just to give the kids a little bit. Let's just play a little bit of it here. That's Cuff It. It's such a good track. This album is so good.
I mean that's the most soulful. I always like her soulful stuff, like Love on Top. To me, that's an R&B record, and that's one of her best song in my view. I'm not a Beyonce worshiper. I mean, I love a few of her songs, like Deja Vu and Crazy in Love.
Maybe I can't go anywhere without yeah.
I like to play Jumpin' too.
Oh, she's throwing it back. Bitch, anyway, can you jump and jump? No.
Well, I can dumpling.
You can break and break.
Anyway, there was the album. If you haven't heard it, is like the gay thing. We actually is this the gayest podcast on earth? We went from Drag Race.
I know.
Beyonce. What's next, girl? Lady Gaga and Britney and Elton John.
Why not? Cher. We're talking about Britney's Cher.
Britney's doing a new song with Elton John. Also, is she? Beyonce. Yeah, Beyonce is coming out soon, I think. Beyonce has also premiered today a snippet of a duet with Ronald Isley of the Isley Brothers.
Do you know the Isley Brothers? I grew up on the Isley Brothers.
Of course. I worship the Isley Brothers. The Isley Brothers.
Have you ever fucked any of them?
No, but I may have put some
Quaaludes,
Tiger Balm on my anus and fingered someone else who I didn't know who was asleep. No.
Okay, wait. Here's my thing go ahead.
But let me say a little bit about Beyonce, for those that don't know. So this is her house music album. The first song, it's house, like 90s house, the little boom, 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 the little bass line, and the chords on top of it, that some people think that it actually sampled Show Me Love. It did not. The Robin S. song.
Break My Soul. Show Me
Love. It just has Break My Soul does not sample that. But
it doesn't?
No. That's just a similar pattern.
It sounds like an interpolation.
It may be an interpolation, but it's not playing the same notes. So they interpolated into a different scale.
Yeah.
So anyway, she throws in samples from T.S. Madison, Kevin Aviance,
yes,
to the show, who, you know, sang.
Which, you know Kevin had no idea. Did you know Kevin had no idea? Mitch Marino. Rich Marino saw Kevin. If you guys know, Kevin Aviance is a legendary queer gay performer from New York City. Fucking fierce. You may know Cunt T. Cunty. Just type in cunty, Kevin Aviante.
Din da da boom 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 boom
boom boom boom boom boom boom boom boom. So Mitch Farino was he bumped into Kevin Aviante somewhere downtown or uptown, so wherever, and he was like, "Girl, congratulations on the new Beyonce." And Kevin Aviante was like, "What?" He was like, "Congratulations on having cunty featured, I mean sampled on Beyonce's new album." He's like, "What are you talking about?" And Mitch Farino had to take his phone out and play for Kevin, and Kevin was like, "Oh shit!" Like Kevin had no idea that his fucking cunty was on Beyonce's album. Isn't that crazy?
Well, I mean, there's, you know, Kevin's gotten a good bit of press saying how thrilled he is to be on it. Another drag performer from New York around the same time as Kevin, a little earlier, and maybe, is named Moi Renee, who was, John, I believe, a Caribbean drag queen that was from the club world. And she had, what was the name of her hit? Don't you hear me calling you Miss Honey? And she did that. Miss Honey. And one time, the bitch was performing it at this Latino club back in the day. Ooh, girl, Cafe Con Leche. Ay, 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 the leche. And she said, don't you hear me calling you Miss Honey? Lady Bunny. And I said, oh my God, Moi Renee knows my name. I've made it now. And so now Moi Renee is featured on Beyonce's album. So it's kind of cool. I am going to say that the sample doesn't quite come in right. Kevin's does. Comes in on the T.
Let me give the audience a little snippet of it. If you want to hear it, we can play this for them. That's Kevin Aviance.
Yes. Is that Beyonce?
No, that's another voice. Yeah. This is a Beyonce song. Yeah. Pure Honey. And this is Moi Renee.
That's her.
Uh-huh. And that's it. Is that cool?
Yes, I mean, so she's included T.S. Madison, Honey Dijon, mm-hmm. the DJ living in Berlin, but who is from Chicago and New York.
Honey Dijon, Bunny, Honey Dijon's DJ sets are so fucking good. They're so good. I listen to them at the gym all the time. They really are great. If y'all want some good gym music, well, not just gym music. It's great music regardless. Just type in Honey Dijon on SoundCloud. They upload them pretty regularly, and they're so good.
Well, we'll have to have her on the show. We're old friends.
I would love that if we could have Honey Dijon. Old I would friends. Fucking yeah, love fun. That.
She has a fashion line and all of it.
Work. So do you, but she's are you included, into the samples? She produced a couple.
So I'm going to tell you the truth. As someone who was there during 90s House, mm-hmm. Drake has an up-tempo, housey single called Massive. I think maybe even a whole album. And so that's actually a much better groove that they took or created or interpolated from me. So, but listen, if this is a love letter from Beyonce to the black LGBT, whatever we are today, community, then I don't want to stand in the way of the love letter, but that doesn't mean it always speaks to me. I don't always love the trademark harmonies, and the trademark harmonies that are so illustriously arranged. These songs are a little bit freeform. It's a mix, so you don't exactly know, you know, where they're stopping. To me, there's great beats and stuff throughout, but I'm not seeing, except for Cuff It. I'm going to listen more because I haven't, like, gone through the whole thing. But Jussie Smollett claimed that Beyonce had also sampled him.
Where?
I'm just kidding.
Oh. Oh my God.
So she definitely worked it in. And now she's come out with the Queen's remix with her Madonna, where she basically says, sings it over Madonna's Vogue, and Madonna is maybe in there from a former time, right?
Yeah, well, here's the tea on that. So Bob and I, on our singer rivalry, there is a young man. His name is Deshaun.
Ooh, how young? Ooh.
Oh my God, buddy, I can't. There's a young man. His name is on TikTok. His name is Fruity Trebles. FrootyTrebelez. And his whole TikTok is dedicated. He's a very great, fucking fierce DJ. And his whole TikTok is dedicating to mixing two songs together. And he'll like just mix the song together. So one he did like months ago. But, well, when the album first came out.
Maybe he can teach me.
He's very handsome. He's very beautiful. He's very pretty.
Maybe he can fuck me. I mean, he probably wants to anyway. It's just a matter of putting it out there, right?
I think he has an aversion to monkeypox, so you wouldn't be a right fit for him. Yeah. So
how did you two meet? How did you two meet then?
Oh, it was AIDS. So his whole TikTok is dedicated to him making different songs together. And so back in June, when the album first came out, he put together Beyonce's Break My Soul and before the album came out, because Break My Soul was her first single, he put Beyonce's Break My Soul and Madonna's Vogue together. He mixed it in this like really great mix. And everyone was like, oh, bitch, this is fierce, this is fierce, this is fierce. Cut to like a week ago, 2 weeks ago, Beyonce's team reached out to his TikTok and they were like, we love this. We want you to produce a remix of it. And so now he is one of the producers on the Queen's mix, Madonna's with Madonna's Vogue and Beyonce's Break My Soul. He's like the lead producer on it.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait for the remixes on the Madonna's version, because at the moment I still love the album version more. I mean, there's plenty of good stuff that I'll play. There's like four that I like enough to play. My favorite, you know, being Cuff It. I just don't always I think Beyonce has an accomplished voice and she's really knocking it out with her range. Like she's up and down, different textures. I watched one video of you may have seen him, like a heavyset black guy with braids, a voice teacher, and he analyzes bit by bit and plays it. It's fascinating. The different textures and stuff. So I think she really does sound like she's pushing it. I just wonder, as you said, she might be like doing a little bit more music, although there's two more albums from this project, doing a little bit more music and then shelving it for a while. I have absolutely no idea. I'm sure she could afford to. Do you feel like she's really letting go and she's older and her kid is growing up, and so she can be very nasty? Because it's definitely her. Like, I mean, like the church folk are already up against it. Did she say, well, let me do a little bit of what you know, Kim Petras is doing, a little bit of what
Beyonce's not out here singing about slut pop. I don't think Beyonce is doing that. I just think that Beyonce, like most artists and most musicians, their point of view begins to reflect the times. I think we are in a time where people are reclaiming their sexuality. They don't feel that they need to be ashamed of their bodies and being overly sexual. And I don't think Beyonce's being overly sexual in this. What was that song, Partition? I think Partition was on the Beyonce album. Literally, yes. Driver, roll up the partition, please. I don't need you to see Beyonce on her knees. Literally, she's like, bitch, I am back here sucking dick in this limo. Put your window up, please. Like, Beyonce has been singing about this stuff. This isn't new.
I see her on her knees every night. I mean,
how do you see her? Do you have a private?
She's over here blowing me. She's over here blowing me, and I still won't give her a good album review. Oh the fucking God. Bitch. Yeah, take your teeth God. Out next time, bitch.
Beehive/Beyonce. That is the voice of Lady Bunny. I have nothing and respect for, but love, adoration, and respect for the queen. That was Lady Bunny. Now, not Monet Exchange.
Monet, you have to admit that you know, some people are. You know, they turn Beyonce into a religion. And if you don't like one of her songs, even though you're someone like me that DJs and loves to play some of her songs, there's a Maurice Joshua remix of Say My Name that I love to play. But if you don't love everything, it's kind of like back in the Madonna days. It's very oppressive. So it's like there's even skits, you know, on Saturday Night Live, like, is it okay if I don't like Beyonce? And it's so funny, it's a black woman and she's like, everyone's shunning her because she doesn't like Beyonce.
What? Well,
so,
I find it to be very interesting because I feel, yes, I feel that about Beyonce, the same way people feel about Rihanna, but I get the same thing from Madonna, from Cher. Like anytime there is people, not even just gays, people love fierce fucking women icon singers. Beyonce, Adele, Cher, Lady Gaga. Anytime anyone has any opposition to them, their diehard fans are always like, I can't believe you don't like art pop. Art pop was fucking fierce. Bad Romance, are you kidding me? You mean the song that, you know, I like. So it's, I don't think it's just a Beyonce thing. I think it's just people who adore female singers. And it's different than male singers. There's something about female singers that people really, really, really love. And they're very tribal about.
Yeah, well, especially gays. But I mean, look, this is such a gay thing to do. Like, you're a diva versus my diva. Actually, I think straights do it too. But it's like, 40 was trending the other day, and I looked 40? At it, and it was Cardi B fans laughing that Nicki Minaj had turned 40. And I was just like, I just hate all this. Like, I mean, that there would even be enough that is trending, unless that's like a paid, you know, sponsorship or something. I mean, it's just like, why can't I love Beyonce's Love on Top and then not really care for everything on this album?
Well, you know, it's like
it just becomes a little bit. now, Honey Mahogany posted on Facebook a few years ago that, you know, if you don't like Beyonce, it's racist.
And oh, God. Did she really?
Well, I hope she was kidding, she was several years younger, and who knows? You know, we're friends, but we don't know each other that well. We've met. She was always one of the most gorgeous to me, Honey Mahogany, always. But the Livonia Jenkins, the insane drag of Fire Island and New York City, said, "Queer culture has officially gone mainstream. I just heard there's going to be a fisting demonstration during the Super Bowl halftime show."
That would be hot.
But
it depends on who's doing it.
But I mean, yeah, I definitely want to keep listening. I mean, there's a lot of I mean, like Diane. Oh, this is what I want to ask you about. What's
Warren
up with Khalees? Because there was a feud immediately with Khalees making a couple of Instagram videos, which claimed that she should have been notified about using one of her songs or interpolating it, but then it turns out she didn't even write the song. It was Pharrell, and that she didn't own the master, so she wouldn't really. It wasn't a legal thing that Beyonce had to do, but
yeah, she was saying it should have been just like a nice formality. It would have been nice of her to do so,
right? But it wasn't. It wasn't necessary. I like Khalees, and I did watch two of her videos just to see what was up with this. And she was basically, you know, she did seem frustrated with the whole situation, but she was also saying, you could have just called to say, is this cool? Because you're always talking about women and sisterhood and empowering each other. And you could have just said, so I don't know. I mean, to be honest, is it the la, 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 la from Milkshake?
Yeah.
So, I mean, wow. I mean, that. I hope they interpolated it, because I can sing that on two edibles. My Lord.
I read the story too. When I first saw Khalees talking about it, I was like, listen to what she's saying. I was like, I guess she's saying that, like, maybe again. And I don't know these celebrities. I don't know what friendships Khalees and Beyonce have had in the past. If they do have each other's phone numbers, if they used to text each other periodically, like, I could get why someone would be bummed out about that. But also, and what Khalees was saying was that Pharrell is a producer on the song, so Pharrell and allegedly Pharrell and Khalees have some drama that we don't know about, that he they were both managed by the same person, and her manager swindled her out of getting publication on the record, so that there was like some shady business, and she didn't know because she was just like a young kid in the industry, so she just signed, not realizing that she was signing her rights away. And then, so that's what I thought. But then someone put this out, because Beyonce took swift action, and here's what it said. Khalees is not the songwriter or producer of Milkshake, so her money stopped after she stopped performing it. She doesn't get to make any decisions regarding the song. She does not continue to get paid from the song. Beyonce puts out a song called Energy, in which there is an interpolation of Milkshake, not a sample. Beyonce legally clears the use of the song's producers and adds Khalees as a songwriter, which means she can now get paid for years to come. So Khalees was not a writer on it before, but because Beyonce, and then says Khalees goes on a tangent calling Beyonce a thief and says she couldn't. Yeah, I saw the video. Khalees was coming at Beyonce, saying that Beyonce does this all the time. She's not here for women. She don't really care about women. She never practices what she preaches. Like, really coming at Beyonce. Right? And then, so allegedly, Beyonce removed the interpolation from Energy, and now, allegedly, Khalees gets none of this. I don't know how true this is. This is just something I read online.
No, I saw that thing, too, but I think that Khalees does continue to get paid in some way from the album sales, even though she doesn't own her masters. It is a Khalees recording, you know, so she didn't write that, what they sampled, she performed it, but it would be she would still be getting some kind of income, but not as a writer, if it were
not
used.
As a writer, right.
Anyway, but do you think that if there's any validity, I don't know these two women, is there any validity in what you just read when you said that Khalees was really coming at Beyonce? I met Khalees, she was very nice to me at a club one night, we'd never met. Then I Beyonce walked by me, but Jay-Z and I met briefly. She would what?
Khalees would get performance royalties from this, not writing royalties, which I don't understand how this all works. So maybe as opposed to getting, like, let's say $100 from publishing, maybe she only gets $20 for performing rights. I don't fucking know. But all these are alleged claims of Beyonce. We don't know the amount of people that no matter how, when you are Beyonce famous, there's always going to be somebody coming and telling you, oh, you don't really care about women, you do nothing. When they have, bitch, people be coming to tell me that I don't really care about the queer community, that I want this, and they know nothing about what I do. So I'm sure this is all hearsay. Beyonce has access to a lot of things. Beyonce has shown to a lot of us, like watching her on the Instagram, on Twitter, or whatever, that she is about what she's talking about. So this is just Khalees's word of mouth about what Beyonce may or may not be doing. Who knows how true it is?
Yeah, but in any way, do you think it would have been sisterhood-ish if she had said, hey, Khalees, is this cool with you?
Not necessarily. Again, I don't know how close they are.
Then Khalees wouldn't be saying anything.
Like, let's say, I don't know, let's say fucking, if I did a new drag song and I interpolated...
Wait, stop the press! Stop the press! You say you were going to do a new drag song? Oh my God.
And I interpolated what's it called, song? You Better Work? Supermodel, and I interpolated the fucking supermodel. Do I go out my way to get Rue's number and be like, hey, Rue, just so you know? No. You clear it legally how you rightfully do so with the people helping you produce the song, and then you move on. You know what I mean? You don't owe someone that. Is it quote unquote nice? Sure.
She doesn't owe her, and it doesn't seem like Beyonce is a thief. You know, I don't know. I mean, I will say that there was another kind of a funny exchange with the songwriter Diane Warren. She's known power ballads for years.
She wrote the Vivian's talent number. Did you watch the talent show on Drag Race?
No. Where I saw your opera part.
Yeah, well, Vivian did a song called Bitch on Heels, and Diane Warren wrote that whole song. She wrote Vivian's song that she performed. Yeah.
Wow. So she, Diane Warren, is a well-known songwriter for decades. Said, why does any song need 34 writers?
A lot of people are upset because if you look at Beyonce's the writers on the song, every song has a bunch of writers, but there are a lot of Beyonce samples a lot of stuff too. And I mean, My thing is, who cares if
when you sample something, though, if there's been several writers on that, then they, the, whatever that four were or six were,
it all gets put on there. So my thing is, who cares if it's one or 32 writers? Who gives a fuck? It's a good song. Like, who cares? Like, why?
Okay.
I mean, Diane Warren is, obviously, she writes her. Bitch, so I'm saying, bitch, Diane Warren, bitch, why don't you sample more? Why don't you get a little more creative? Bitch, I don't want to hear only what the fuck you got to sing about. Why don't you sample and get a little more creative and give me a little more spice in your motherfucking music?
All she was trying to say, she didn't even mention Beyonce's name, but everybody knew who she was talking about. Yeah.
But also, here's the thing. A lot of these people, because you're on a Beyonce song, that's more opportunity. So, and also, you get the choice. If you don't want to be part of a song with Mad Riders, then bitch, say no. No one has a knife to your throat and is like, hey, you have to be on this record. Like, choose, say no.
If you're someone like Diane Warren, who is one person that can write a great song, it seems odd to you and it seems way out of line, because it's like, it could work out beautifully, but it's also, it does smack of desperation. And you know what you were saying about Beyonce being so high up there, totally agree. Total pop phenomenon for, you know, over a decade. But if she's at the top and she's sometimes loading her stuff up with like the hook of two different bitch tracks, Kevin and Moi Renee, And like, you know, doing Donna Summer in this song groove and this, I mean, I get that it's a tribute, but why wouldn't you be making the great original music that future generations would sample? You can afford the lush orchestrations. You know, I mean, maybe that's what the other three albums will be, because I'm going to listen to it. Like I say, there's about three or four songs that I will definitely play, including one really slow one, but I feel like a lot of Beyonce is marketing, and it's successful marketing, but the tracks, if she is being experimental, it worked, because the tracks, you know, it sounds, you know, there's, it's sometimes sparse, sometimes beautifully produced. I love the production of the Madonna remix, though. I didn't love that.
What? Why?
No. Well, it's an updated sound, you know, for that song, but yeah, it's not that great to me.
Well, I loved it. I was in the woods doing psychedelics, and it took me to the place I needed to be. It was the best time of my life.
Yeah. I'm gonna listen to it more. We should have someone from the. I mean, I listen. Big Frieda's on there. I hope she, since this is such a big win for visibility, I hope she puts Kevin and Big Frieda and all of them, T.S. Madison and all of that. That's a love letter to the gay community. I would love to see the black gay community.
Well, here's the thing. I would say this also. Going back to that same thing, if you are a Beyonce, if you are a Lady Gaga, and you have a chance to do an album, and you know that you can put people on by including them as writers on your songs and giving people a chance just by you having a writing credit on. Look, my friend, I told you, my friend who was one of the producers on this new Queens remix, he's getting opportunities just because he's listed as one of the producers on this song. He's getting opportunities just because of that. He's just a kid just trying to do his DJ thing. And because of that one little boost, it's changing things for him. In his career. So I think people like Beyonce, no shade. If I mean, again, I'm not gonna say that, because that's gonna sound really shady. I don't know what being listed as. Maybe if you co-wrote the song with Diane Warren, maybe that would give you that may change your career. I don't fucking know. But I do know that when you are a big artist like Beyonce or like Gaga, one of these, or like Lizzo, one of these big artists, having a credit saying that you're a writer on their song, that's a gift, and that could be a career change for you because of that.
The value of that has gotten to be less, because that's what Madonna would do. She would give a credit. She would get a credit even if she just didn't really come in there and write much of anything, you know, to the studio. But those you were kind of forced to have the artists have a credit. on there, even though they didn't write hardly any of it, because of what you're saying, because it would sell so well. In fact, you wrote all of it. They wrote none of it. And that's how this got started.
Yeah, I mean, but again, but to that point, though, but now people do get to get...
So you're saying be grateful is it for the opportunities that your friend is getting, but also, I mean, yeah, I mean, what if...
I mean, it's a double-edged sword. There are going to be benefits for it, and they're going to be negative. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. But I think for most who never otherwise would get a credit, knowing that you did work on something, that for most people who get that credit, I'm sure it helped them in some way, shape, or form. You know what I mean? So I think on that part of it, I'm like, for struggling artists who like, bitch, I just want to get just someone, like, give me a chance to do something. That could be being accredited as a writer on a Mariah Carey song or a Beyonce song probably is that chance for that. Okay, you know,
well, or yeah,
I definitely won't credit you if you help me write a parody. You're not. How about you're not getting credited? How about that?
Well, I'm used to it working with RuPaul.
Oh my god, I'm not going there. Yeah. Okay, wait. Lick it, Lollipop. Did you write your stuff for Lick It Lollipop?
Oh, you actually did it. I put a harmony in there that he didn't have.
Wait, which one? Cherry, bigger, bigger,
line, down, down. Yeah, bigger, something like line. That.
Word.
Something like that. He liked it.
Okay, now, did y'all go into the studio together to do this, or RuPaul did his shit, and he was like, Bunny, we're going to set a studio time for you. Do you want to come in and do your thing, or do y'all do it together?
We worked for a few days on a few songs, and that was one of them, and then something else. But that Lick It Lollipop was, I did that in, no, he was in New York, because he was more back and forth then.
Got it.
So,
work. Yeah, I love that song. There's this video of this kid. Yeah, if y'all want to check it out, I think you have to type in Kevin twerking Lady Bunny RuPaul. And it is this kid named Kevin twerking to y'all, to this like fierce remix of y'all's song. And it is so fucking funny. People should check it out if they want a really good walk. And it's Bunny and RuPaul singing a song. And this kid, Kevin, twerking his ass off. It's really great. Ebony,
irony. Have we demolished everyone involved with the Beyonce project? Have we demolished everyone yet?
No, we haven't, Lady Bunny. I mean, Lizzo's album also came out. To be full transparency, I'm not fully listened to Lizzo's yet. I listened to like the first couple tracks, and it is great. But because Beyonce is Beyonce, I think that, you know, people have been paying attention more so to that than Lizzo's new project. Anything. Have you listened to Lizzo's?
Anything. There's a doctor with a book out, not a medical doctor, but a doctor named Stephen Thrasher, who does have a wonderful and fascinating book out, as a matter of fact. And I want to get him on here to talk about monkeypox and the government response to it and all that shite. What's going on with the vaccines? Because now they're saying that first they said you need two vaccines 28 days apart. Mm-hmm. And then the vaccines are effective a week or two after you get the second dose.
Then I have one. Did you get a vaccine?
No, I couldn't get an appointment. But so somebody's told me that you should call them and lie and say you've had more sexual partners than you have in the last 2 weeks. And I was like, oh my god, I never dreamt I would be calling to lie about being less of one. My god.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't gotten one yet. But anyway, he's been following this. I follow his tweets, and there have been some interesting things, you know, with the precautions, and everyone's just on edge with it. So we should definitely do an episode about that coming up now that we're back from our summer.
Yeah, we should definitely have it. I mean, we should definitely do one. I've had a few friends that have had it. One of my friends got it he got the vaccine and he got infected the next day, and his symptoms were super mild. I don't think he got any. He maybe got a few little lesions and a little fever, but that was it. So, and that's getting it so close to before the vaccine even has time to really incubate and really be vaccinated. vaccinatory, if that's a word, in your system. Right. So
yeah, well, now they're doing this. They kind of ran out in New York, and they're giving, they're giving
Chipotle cookies.
Yes. Yes. And that Chipotle can make you break out too if you put enough hot sauce on it. You know what I mean? God. Down there. Mm-hmm. Down muy there, caliente.
In your between me down there.
Yes. Well, girl, we had some other shit to discuss that we got going on, Miss Yonce.
What other shit?
Oh, I don't know. Bullshit we can talk about next week. Stir up some trouble.
Yeah, so you know. Ebony and Irony is back. And, you know, we can't talk about it now, but a big part of that was Bunny and I, we were together recording something special for a network that's going to be coming out in the fall. So, but we were working hard, bitch. We were, like, long days from, like, 8 a.m. until, like, 9 p.m. It was but I'm excited for them to see it, Bunny. It's going to be really great.
I know. I am, too. And I never say that.
God, well, that's at least Bunny gives her the seal of approval. Bunny was very funny on set, as she always is. It was great to see Bunny in action, that old relic.
I'll tell you, it sure was fun working with Sahara Davenport again.
Oh, my God.
I mean, Manila! Sorry.
You know, every time I do this podcast, I'm like, I think today is going to be the day I'm going to get canceled because of Lady Bunny. And, you know, I think today we nailed it. We definitely nailed it today.
Well, anyway, we will chat next week. And everyone,
yes, we will.
Weekend.
You guys too. Bye. And we'll see y'all next week for Ebony and Irony. Peace.
A podcast network.